भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Texts 23, 24, 25, and 26. Avyahate shtagataya surasida sadhya. Gandharva raksha nara kinnara naga lokan Moktashta ranti municharana bhutanata Vidyadhara dvijagavam bhuvanani kaman Avyahate shtagataya surasidha sadhya Gandharva yaksha nara kinnara naga lokan Muktashta ranti municharana bhutanata Vidyadhara dvijagavam bhuvanani kamam Avyahate shtagataya surasida sadhya Gandharva yaksha nara kinnara naga lokan Moktashta ranti municharana bhutanata Vidyadhara dvijagavam bhuvanani kamam Avyahateshagataya surasira sadhya Gandharva yaksha nara kinnara naga lokan Moktashta ranti municharana bhutanata Vidyadhara dvijagavam Avyahateshagataya surasida sadhya Gandharva yaksha nara kinnara naga lokan Muktashta ranti municharana bhutanata Vidyadhara dvijagavam Gandharva Naga Lokan Mukashta Ranti Municharana Bhutanata
Avyahata, unimpeded, ishtagataya, in moving as they please, Sura of the demigods, Siddha, perfected mystics, Sadhya, Sadhyas, Gandharva, heavenly musicians, Yaksha, associates of Kuvira, Nara, human beings, Kinara, minor demigods who can change their form at will, Naga, and serpents, Lokan, the wars, Mukta, free, Charanti, they travel, Muni of the sages, Charana, angels, Bhutanata, ghostly followers of Lord Shiva, Vidyadhara, Vidyadharas, Dvija, Brahmanas, Gavan, and of the cows, Bhuvanani, the wars, Kamam, however they want. Translation. The nine Yogendras are liberated souls who travel freely to the planets of the demigods, the perfected mystics, the sadhyas, the heavenly musicians, the yakshas, the human beings, and the minor demigods such as the kinaras and the serpents. No mundane force can check their free movement, and exactly as they wish, they can travel as well to the worlds of the sages, the angels, the ghostly followers of Lord Shiva, the Vidyadharas, the Brahmanas, and the cows. Text 24, we could do together. Taikata nime satram upajag murya richaya vitayaman rishibir ajanabe mahatmana. Once in Ajanaba, the former name of the earth, they came upon the sacrificial performance of the great soul Maharaj Nim, which was being carried out under the direction of elevated sages. 25. Tandrishvasura Sankarshan Mahabhagavatam Nipa Rajamano Vinayo Vipra Sarva Evo Patastiri. My dear king, seeing those pure devotees of the Lord who rival the sun in brilliance, everyone present, the performer of the sacrifice, the brahmanas, and even the sacrificial fires, stood in respect. Videhastan api preta marayana parayana preta sampujayam chakre asamsta yatarhata. Translation. King Vaideha Nimi understood that the nine sages were exalted devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, overjoyed at their auspicious arrival, he offered them suitable sitting places and worshipped them in a proper way, just as one would worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. It's a little lengthy. The word yatharhata is significant here. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti, the word yatharhata means yatochitam, or according to the proper etiquette. It is clearly mentioned here that the Navayogendras are Narayana Parayana, exalted devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayana, or Krishna. Therefore, the word yatharhata indicates that the king worshipped the nine sages according to the standard of Vaishnava etiquette. The etiquette for worshipping exalted Vaishnavas is expressed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur with the words Sakshad Dharitvena Samshastashashir. An exalted Vaishnava, being totally surrendered to the will of the Supreme Lord, is taken to be a transparent medium for the Lord's will. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated that even by a moment's association with the pure devotees of the Lord, one can achieve all perfection in life. Therefore, as indicated by the word preta, King Nimi was overjoyed by the auspicious arrival of the sages, and therefore he worshipped them just as one would worship the Supreme Personality of God. Although impersonalist philosophers claim that every living entity is equal to God, they callously step over the heads of their so-called spiritual masters and freely speculate on the nature of the Absolute, giving their own whimsical opinions in defiance of the impersonal whims of their so-called guru. In other words, although Mayavadi impersonalists claim that everyone is God, they ultimately show an offensive mentality toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead in rejecting the reality of His eternal form and pastimes. Thus, they unwittingly belittle the eternal position of all living beings by denying their eternal personality and activity in the kingdom of God. The impersonalists, through their mental concoctions, try to minimize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities who are part of Him, reducing them theoretically to a formless, nameless light, which by their concoction they claim to be the Absolute God. The Vaishnavas, however, welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead and easily understand that the unlimited Supreme Personality has nothing to do with the conditional, limited, mundane personalities we find in the material world. The impersonalists arrogantly assume that there could not be any transcendental on our limited personality beyond our present experience. But the Vaishnavas intelligently understand that there are many wonderful things far beyond our limited experience. Therefore, they accept the words of Krishna, who states in Bhagavad Gita 15:19, Yo mam evam asamudo janati puroshottamam sa sarva vid bhajatinam sarva bhavena bharata. Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubt and is know of everything, and he therefore engages himself in full devotional service, O son of Bharata. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada states there are many philosophical speculations about the constitutional position of living entities and the Supreme Absolute Truth. Now in this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead clearly explains that anyone who knows Lord Krishna as the Supreme Person is actually the know of everything. The imperfect knower goes on simply speculating about the Absolute Truth. The perfect knower, without wasting his valuable time, engages directly in Krishna consciousness, the devotional service of the Lord. It is not that one should simply speculate academically. One should submissively hear from Bhagavad Gita that these living entities are always subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone is able to understand this according to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, knows the purpose of the Vedas. No one else knows the purpose of the Vedas. Therefore, exalted devotees, such as the nine Yogendras, always accept the supremacy of the Personality of Godhead, as expressed here by the word Narayana Parayana. King Nimi was a Vaishnava, and therefore he worshipped the sages with the same respect with which he would worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as shown by the word Yatharhata. Although impersonalists falsely claim that every living entity is equal to God, they cannot properly respect any living being because of their original offense at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their so-called worship, even of their own gurus, is ultimately self-serving and opportunistic. When an impersonalist imagines that he has become God, he has no further need for his so-called guru. The Vaishnava, however, because he accepts the supremacy of the eternal personality of Godhead, is ready and willing to offer eternal respect to all living beings, especially to those most unfortunate living beings who have achieved shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. A Vaishnava worship of the Lord's representative is not self-serving or opportunistic, but is an expression of eternal love for the Lord and his representatives, as indicated here by the word Prita. Therefore, it is clear from this verse that not only the nine exalted sons of Vrishabhadi, but also King Nimi himself, were all great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in defiance of the artificial and limited concept of impersonalism. Om Jnana Tirman Yasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshun Tam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurubhe Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Staptam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Yadi Swaparantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaurabhakti Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are in an interesting section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, studying the conversation between the exalted Maharaj Nimi and the nine Yogendras. We have heard of the nine Yogendras many times. In fact, when I used to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, when I see the long names of the nine Yogendras, I would skip it. Just because the names are so long, and I would skip through the whole part here. But now because I have to give class, I decided to study it. But every time I see those long names, I just run over them. So there's, to recap really, Narad was staying in Dwarka to worship Lord Krishna. And he met with Vasudeva, Lord Krishna's father. And there was an interesting conversation whereby Vasudeva was saying that the demigods give temporary benefit. Worshipping of the demigod, they give actions and reactions, temporary benefits. But saintly person like Narada, or you Narada, give permanent benefit. In the sense, you give one true enlightenment and allow one to go back to the spiritual world. So as they were conversing, Narad recall an ancient meeting with the nine Yogendras and Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi was an exalted king in the line of the Surya dynasty. He was the son of Maharaj Ikshvaku. And Ikshvaku is the son of Manu. Vishvasvata Manu. That is the current Manu. Within the day of Brahma, there is 14 Manus. 14 Manus. So far, 6 Manus have passed and we are in the 7th, Vishvasvata. And so, from Vishvasvata Manu to now, or from King Ikshvaku to now, it's over 2 million years, as Srila Prabhupada explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Because he's calculating from the beginning of Dwarpa Yuga, the beginning of Treta Yuga, which is 1,296,000 years, and Dwarpa Yuga, 864,000 years. That's over 2 million years. And change with Kali Yuga, 5,000 years. So this conversation must have taken place around that time. The nine Yogendras are the sons of Rishabhadev. And we know that Rishabhadev was the plenary portion of the Supreme Lord, exalted devotee. Rishabhadev's father was Nabhi. Nabhi's father was Agnidra, and Agnidra's father was Priyavrata. We know of the exalted Priyavrata. He was ruler of the earth. And Priyavara's father was Swayambhuva Manu. So Swayambhuva Manu is the original Manu within this day of Brahma. So the nine Yogendras would have been very, very old, because that's almost 2 billion years from Swayambhuva Manu to our present thing. The scientists are saying that the age of the earth is 4,500,000 years. But from our calculation, from the start of Swayambhuva Manu to now is 2 billion years. So this conversation was very, very interesting. The nine Yogendras' name are, let me see if I can remember, hopefully by my head. Kavi, Javier, Antariksha, Prabhuda, Pipalanyana, Avirhotra, Drumila, Chamasa, and Karabajan.
Wow.
So the names that I was running from, I finally got them. Kavi spoke about, so they were speaking to King Nimi, and Nimi was asking them questions, and they were relating, each one of the different Yogendras. So Kavi would speak about the highest good for humanity. Javier would speak about the devotees, the three types of devotees, the Kanishta, Madhyama, and Kanishta, Madhyama, and the Uttama. See? And then Antariksha would speak about Maya, how Maya dominates the world. Prabhuda, he would speak about how the materialistic person, how a materialistic person can be free from the clutches of Maya. Pipalayana, he would speak of the position of the Lord. Avirhotra, he would speak about karma yoga. Drumila would speak about the incarnations and pastimes of the Lord. Chamasa would speak about the destination of those who don't worship the Lord. And Karabajan would speak about the forms of the Lord and his color in the different ages. Also the principles by which he is worshipped. So before we touch on these Yogendras, we'd like to hear or recap what the great Rishabhadev had spoken to his sons to make them renounce. We know he had 100 sons. Let me hear the words of Rishabhadev. Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke kashtan kamam arhate vid bhujamye tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam surayad yasmad brahma saukyam tva anantam. These are heavy words. Rishabhadev told his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal, blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness, and which continues forever. Mahat sevam dwaram mahur vimuktis. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to the highly advanced spiritual personalities. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya aprinoti. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body, which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it is not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Prabhavastavadabhodajato. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Pumsa Sriya Maituni Bhavam Metam. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in form of I and mine. Guru na sya syat, swajano na sa syat, pita na sa swaj, janati na sa swaj. One who cannot deliver his dependence from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So these are the serious and cutting words of Maharaj Rishabha Dev to his 100 sons. We know 10 of his sons would become Kshatriyas, headed by Bharat Maharaj. Bharat was the eldest, and he would be the king of Bharat Varsha. And the other 9 sons would be the kings of the other Varshas of Jambudvip. 81 of his sons would become Brahmanas, and 9 of his sons would become Mahabhagavata. As I described the name, the Mahabhagavatas, and they would be preaching all over the world, not only on the planet Earth, but they would preach in all the planets within the universe. It's stated that they would be preaching to the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, the Yakshas, the Charanas, Vidyadharas, the human beings, and the cows. Actually, there is a planet of the cow also. There's a Spanish special planet of the cows. But before I go on to that, I'd like to quote a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam about the exaltedness of the sadhus. By seeing a sadhu, by the association of the sadhus, one life can change forever. Yat para samsraya sutta munaya prasamanayana. O sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the Ganges can only sanctify after a prolonged use. See? So, the association of exalted devotees is always recommended. And for us here, we're lucky that frequently sannyasis are coming. Sannyasis, advanced devotees, they're coming, and we should take the opportunity to get their association, to render some service to them, to listen to their classes. We should not take for granted that this is just, oh, another sannyasi or whatever. But it's so beneficial for us, as we read in here. Those that can cook nicely, can, you know, offer to cook for them. Those that cannot do just regular service can at least give a little donation to them. Because they're traveling very far from Europe, Russia, Argentina, India, wherever. So we give a little donation, whatever. See, and that would be so helpful for their travel and for our advancement. Shushusho sadadhanasya vasudeva kata ruchi. By serving those devotees who are completely free from vice, great service is done. Sometimes these devotees may not be as exalted as the devotees that are spoken in Bhagavatam, but still, because they have given up everything for the service of the Lord, we should honor them. Tatikshava karunika sudrida sarvadehinam. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. See? So these are some symptoms of the exalted devotees of the Lord. They are peaceful. They abide by the scriptures. They are friendly to the living entities. And their characteristics are sublime. So these are some of the qualities of exalted devotees. So we find in 9 Yogindras, they were Mahabhagavatas. They were very, very exalted. And they could have traveled to all the planets of the demigods in their self-same bodies. In ancient times, it's stated in Satyug, the exalted beings could fly at will. In Satyug, the exalted personalities could fly, traverse the sky like a bird. Or he could... Some of them could even travel to other planets. In the other ages, this ability was lost. But for exalted devotees, for a long time, they could have still done this. We know Narad Muni, he always flying in the air. He could appear and disappear. In other words, when one becomes an exalted devotee, he developed the eightfold mystic powers, appearing, disappearing, get anything he wants, desire anything he wants, travel anywhere at the speed of mind, and so forth. So these devotees, they would travel to all these planets in their self same body. We know that some of the yogis, they would actually leave their body and traveled out of it via the subtle body. Exalted devotees that were doing meditation, the age of meditation, they could actually leave the body, come out the body, and travel with the subtle body. And this was explained in a story in the Mahabharata. Trying to remember the sage, but he would leave his body, travel out of it, and could even travel to other planets. Just like Srila Prabhupada in Easy Journey to Other Planets explains that. If you remember that a yogi is They would travel out of their body and move to other planets. He was ridiculing the scientists, saying that they have to use their Sputnik. I think he said Sputnik and rockets and so forth. But the yogis, they would just travel at will, moving. Other ways they would travel is by chariot. And some of these chariots would even fly in the air. We know Indra's chariot, for example, would fly in the air, and take the demigods to different places. Then we also know that they had vimanas. Vimanas were some spaceship that travel with the force of the mind. See, they will travel with the force of the mind to different places. And we know Kuvira had one such spaceship. And eventually Ravana would steal it from him, if you know that story. See? So these devotees in the past, this is the way they used to travel. And of course, on earth they would use chariots, and some of them would walk. Some of the devotees would walk long miles and so forth. So here we find that these nine yogendras, they would travel at will to different planets to meet all these exalted personalities and speak the glories of the Lord. And presently they're conversing with Maharaj Nimi. But I don't want to explain the details of those meetings. That would be explained by the different devotees that give class. The other point I'd like to mention is that that all the planets are inhabited by different beings, as we read here. The demigods, the Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, Vidyadharas. Thank you, Pushkar. Charanas and so forth. And the cows. It's stated that one of the planets is inhabited by cows also. So all of these planets are inhabited, but unfortunately, our scientists have not discovered any living being on any of the planets. And one reason for this is not that there are no beings there, but it's just that their methods of approach is completely physical. And so that is the difficulty. Because these beings are living in subtler situations. And so it's difficult. I'd like to mention a little bit about the planets of the cows. The planet of the cows, and of course it could be like in Goloka Vrindavan is inhabited by the cows also. See, and Lord Krishna is there with all these cows. And he is the protector of the cows. He is called Govinda. Govinda Gopal, protector of the cows. So one time Lakshmi Devi was she was feeling a little slighted. She was feeling like a little envious that Lord Krishna is giving so much attention to the cows. Why is the Lord giving so much attention to the cows and not me? So Lakshmi Devi decided to go to the planet of the cows and beg them that I want to render some service to you. The cows paused for a moment and said, "We don't really need your service. We are beautiful by ourselves. And besides that, you are chanchala. You know, you don't stay put at one place. You'd stay with us for a while and then you go somewhere else. We don't want that. We don't want a person like you." So Lakshmi Devi was very taken back. "I'm so beautiful and I'm so wealthy and so forth. And these cows don't want me. What's going on?" So anyhow, she decided that because the Lord is giving so much attention to the cow, she has to try serve the cow in some form. So she begged and begged and begged the cows. And eventually they considered, they said, okay. Okay, Lakshmi Devi. We'll allow you to serve. But you would stay in our stool. That is the only place you can serve us. And so it stated that Lakshmi Devi is actually in the stool of the cows. And the stool of the cow is very, very auspicious. It's used for sacrifices, to clean houses and so many different things. See? Yeah, so here it's stated that these nine yogendras, they actually went to the planet of the cows also. So I would stop here if there is any questions or corrections or comments. Yes, Dhamraj Prabhu.
About the cows?
The cows. That was in the Mahabharata, the planet of the cows. Yeah. This is a different planet. Yeah.
And which book were you quoting from when you're reading Maharaj Vrishabhadeva's instruction?
That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto.
Okay. Yeah. You know, when you were reading that, some thoughts came to mind because it was talking about how, you know, people with materialistic way of life, you know, how they kind of carry on, what would be the reaction and so forth. In my own encounters with outsiders, sometimes we try to discuss these topics. And as usual, we would appeal to their intelligence. But it appears as though sometimes it takes more than intelligence to understand these purified matters per se. It's like they have a whole different logical concept of things, and sometimes they would pursue a subject matter based on their own logical conception or their conditioned nature. One example of this was back in the 90s.
Yes.
Back, you know, I was just giving one.
Yeah.
Yeah, one very strong encounter I had with this was back in the 90s. I was in Miami, and the work I was doing then was meeting out with people, having appointments in their homes. So I went to one such person. I didn't know who he was. We started talking. And, you know, he was trying to give me a hint so I can ask him who he was and, you know, what's his position. And he started bring about some, you know, some arguments. And then he told me, well, he's a professor of English and Logics at the University of Miami. So we started talking, our conversation changed from what my purpose of being there to a kind of debate and discussion. And then he said, you know, that I can support my arguments because I have my books here, and he pointed to the shelf where he's getting all his arguments from. And when I looked up on the shelf, there are about 10 of Srila Prabhupada's books, Bhagavatam sections that he's reading from. And I said, well, those are the very source of my information. But his conversation, his argument, his logics, his reasoning was like so much the opposite of what we were saying. Until to the point I couldn't have restrained myself. I had to tell him, well, you know, you said you're a professor of logic and reasoning at the university, but I must tell you that you're logically backwards. Lo and behold, I almost lost my job for that because I wasn't supposed to say that, something like that, or have any debate with a client. You know, that was part of our rules of where I was working. But the point I'm getting at is that sometimes, you know, it was like an eye-opening experience for me to see how they can take these very instructions, these very statements there, but they can twist it in a certain way, and sometimes logical arguments, or let's say in this case, positive logical arguments, just cannot get through to them in a, you know, in a short period of time. So my question is, I'm pretty sure you probably encounter similar things, that how do we really get over such hurdles, and especially, well, preachers who goes out there, they generally, you know, encounter this from time to time.
Yeah.
It's more so like a matter of consciousness, I think, or rather than intelligence.
Yeah. Well, generally, a lot of the people are innocent. There are a few envious ones, but a lot of people, you know, they're somewhat innocent, and they would accept a book easily, or some prasadam, or some preaching, whatever, they would do that, the general mass. But for a few that are very envious, then maybe if they could take some prasadam or some other form of mercy, that's the only thing. Otherwise, it's better to avoid them, you know, because it's very, very difficult. Realizations would start to come upon them when they get a kick by the illusory energy, usually, like, you know, serious setbacks, you know, like, then it's easier for them to listen. But when they're in that mood, then it's only time you have to help them. If they want, they don't want to listen, they don't want to take a book, or they don't want to take prasadam and so forth. Any other point or question? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.